This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We're going to have to play all four of our bigs for sure. They remind me a lot the way they run of Michigan State and how Michigan State brings four big guys in and just tries to wear you down. I think Florida does the same thing. They shoot the basketball much better than the Michigan State team does. I think it's the biggest difference. But we're going to have to play all four bigs. There's just no way Derek and Jew are going to be able to log 36 minutes against this team.
Adding Morton, adding Sagano. So interested in what Sagano is going to look like. He's going to start some, you know, earlier or midweek this week. I really like our bullpen right now with Batista coming back and the arms. There's a lot of the arms are supposed to throw today, and Perez and Soto and Dominguez and Cano and these type of guys. I feel like the last three innings of the game, I have some options, some good options. Batista threw a live BP yesterday, looked great. So he's on track. Hopefully can be at least a close version of himself of what he was a couple years ago, of just absolutely dominant. And then we got O'Neill and Kierstead. It gives Kierstead an opportunity to get some more bats and give him a chance. He's, you know, definitely earned it, and his nothing left to prove in AAA.
So we have a huge sports day on tap, ladies and gentlemen. First, you heard from the current head coach at Maryland, Kevin Willard. That seems to be an expiration date there. But he's talking about going against Florida. That game's at 7:30. And then Brandon Hyde talking about Sagano, talking about Kerstad, neither of whom are playing today.
Nope.
One's a pitcher, one's a hitter.
Maybe Heston will get a chance to pinch hit.
Yeah. So, but Orioles play today. Now, Bobster just told me that game's at 3:30 now, but it says 3:00 on the thing. So
why would you move a game time for a dome?
I don't know, but he was telling me it's at 3:30 now. I'm going to take Bob's word for it, because why would
it could be
with
the
me?
Canadian exchange rate.
Yes, Canadian time is 3:30. Yeah. So we have a massive day and a lot of subplots as well as we enter said day.
Yeah, it is.
And we'll get to the Kevin Willard of it all coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is just sort of odd that the Terps are playing a huge game, one of the biggest games in program history, certainly one of the, obviously the biggest game in post-Gary Williams program history. And it's overshadowed by the nebulous future of the program and who's going to be running it, and it's not going to be Kevin Willard, and we have some thoughts about who it might be.
Yes.
Which again we'll get to, but it's a weird moment in time where the Orioles season is just beginning and the Terps season is hitting its crescendo, and the Terps game is it's not a subplot to these larger stories, but there are things that are going to reverberate beyond this game no matter what the outcome is that continue to sort of percolate across college basketball media and message boards and everything else. And Terge is gone. And the Orioles are beginning a season.
Terge 2.0 is gone.
Terge 2.0 is gone.
And the Orioles are starting a season where for, I don't know about you guys, but the sense I get is, and I think we started to see this reflected in the 10,000 open empty seats at the playoff game and a very tepid offseason. I get the sense that for a first time in since this regime's been here, that there's a fair number of people out there who are less than convinced that this upward trajectory will continue, that they went from, you know, in the abyss to starting to contend to being a buyer to going to the playoffs twice. Mm-hmm. And despite the American League looking even more watered down than possibly at any other time during the Mike Elias, Brandon Hyde era, there seems to be a lot of people in this town who were less than captivated by how they've put this team together and who are trying to figure out what is fair expectations, and almost like people don't want to get caught up in believing they're going to continue to be better than they have been in the past. Because certainly on the pitching side, they haven't built up the high end. I mean, maybe they've boosted the low end. They haven't they built boosted up the floor.
Jason, go beyond Baltimore. We've had on countless national MLB analysts, journalists this offseason, and guys that were huge advocates of Mike Elias. Yes. And the one that immediately comes to mind is Jim Bowden.
Yes.
Who, what was the quote? Crab cakes every October.
You've got the best GM in baseball. Yeah. I'm going to be eating crab cakes with you guys in October for the next 6 years.
Where he was a major skeptic. We had John Morosi on a couple of weeks ago, where him saying that from what he hears in the industry, perception.
Which is the same thing Ken Rosenthal said on our show. And then reported in The Athletic.
So I think it's gone.
Jim O'Dowd.
Yes.
Dan O'Dowd and Jim Duquette.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim O'Dowd hates him too.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Now, full disclosure, Mark Feinstein has him going to the World Series.
Yes.
He does.
Who is a regular guest on this program. So some are still buying.
And Dan Zimborski from Fangraphs is one of the few people at Fangraphs who had the Orioles picked to win the division. Way more people who work at Fangraphs picked the Red Sox than the Orioles, let alone the Yankees. In fact, most people at Fangraphs, I think they had 19 people voting, and the majority of them picked the Red Sox. So I think tepid is a fair word.
Yeah. I love baseball.
We all do.
And I'm excited because home springs eternal. But if the chickens come home to roost, so to speak, then it's going to, I think, elicit some anger and frustration from a lot of people, because all the questions that we and others were asking this offseason are going to be like, hey, I told you so. What the hell's going on here?
And maybe they know better. We're going to find out over the course of 162 baseball games, over the course of like 185 days.
But unfortunately, the biggest story in this town is about the head coach of the Terps, which we'll get to.
Let me just ask this before we go over the show and everything. Are you as excited about this game as you were on Monday?
No.
Bone?
No. Quite frankly, guys, it goes beyond the Terps. Like, even the Orioles opening their season, I feel like I'm not as fired up as I should be for the Orioles open their season because of this Kevin Willard news.
It's overshadowing everything.
Yes, exactly.
And what's crazy is I also think this story has really shone a light on the fact that nobody really reports regularly on Maryland. And it's like, it sort of has built, like, it came out of nowhere because, like, who's mining the store down there? Like, nobody, like, a week or so ago, like, it just popped up out of nowhere, these Villanova rumors, and they're popped up on Discord.
Well, first the Rothstein thing popped up.
Yes.
Basically saying,
he's pretty much there.
They tried to put the baby back in the bottle or whatever yesterday. I'm all over the place here with my mixed metaphors and mixed names. Hey. I need a V8 to straighten me out. But he did more than just say they're talking. He basically said Willard's getting everything he wants.
Yes. And that's we'll get that coming.
And then the Villanova stuff started coming out, and then Willard started trashing the program, and then Damon Evans left. And here we are. Look, I just want this guy out of my life at this point. I'm like ready for the next era of Terps basketball to start.
Yeah. Well, hey, I hope those kids play their rear ends off tonight and maybe they do something magical. But, man,
DHS is playing 36 minutes tonight.
It's cold water has been thrown out. We have a huge show here on this
Thursday. He's going to treat it like senior day. Anybody he thinks could go with him somewhere is going to play. Yeah. If you can't, you're on the bench tonight, son.
Trust me, he's not taking DHS with him. Boomer Esiason is joining us at 2:30, former Terp quarterback, Terp legend. Get his thoughts on what's going on at the program. Coming up at 2:30, Chris Harry, FloridaGators.com, will preview this matchup with him at 3. And Sunshine himself still will be bringing the sunshine, coming in studio at 5.
Look, we all wanted this Willard thing to last longer than it's going to last. And we all wanted to believe what he was saying because he was very convincing saying it. It's clear in his heart he knew he was going a long time ago. He dragged this program unnecessarily through the mud and exposed a lot of dirty laundry that could have been left private for what I guess for his own ego and for his own emotional state at the time. And he got his licks in on Damon Evans, even though Damon Evans wasn't going to be here. So what's the point? But he's not the end-all, be-all. He didn't have the greatest resume in the world before he got there. And if this program is committed to what's now being said all over the place, $5 million, revenue share, if they've got that on the table, I got news for you. It's not going to be some dude who's never coached a Power 5 team before. It's not going to be some hope and a prayer. It's not going to be a starter, like a startup guy that we're all rooting for and we hope one day he's worth $3 to $5 million a year. No, they're going to go get a real basketball coach who's won real games at one of the two, three, four biggest conferences in the country, who's got an established resume, might even have a resume better than Willard's when he got here. Money talks. If that's on the table, they're going to be just fine.
Coming up next, we get to the Kevin Willard of it all. And, man, I think it was yesterday about when we had Kevin Harlan went around 2:30, things started to feel a lot less optimistic. Now it's, I think, he gone. Well, what do we think of Kevin Willard? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
I wanted to spend an extra night in New York this year to celebrate Christmas with my team, and I was told that we can't do that because it's too expensive. I don't know how we can be a top-tier program and I can't spend one extra night in New York because it's too expensive. So there's fundamental things I'm fighting for my team and my program. It's not so much about me. It seems to, I want to make sure that whatever we do going forward, we're successful and we're successful at the highest rate.
That was Kevin Willard spilling some tea. And at the time he spilled said tea, we thought, yeah, he's using it as leverage to try to get himself a better deal and make the program better.
Elevate the program.
Yes.
Not about him.
No, but now with and personally, I've heard they gave him everything, basically everything he asked for. And yet he's still saying thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go up 95 a little bit. Mainline, Pennsylvania, Villanova, where it's basketball first. And I think we're in agreement on this. I feel like I don't know how he could have come off poorer than he has in the, like, I think it's created an anger in this fan base by the way he's handled this whole situation. And it first started with Kevin Harlan at 2:30 and then that press conference about an hour later and then all the stuff getting leaked out last night. It's not good.
It's a damn shame. He overshadowed everything these kids did. He made it about his situation when he could have just said, hey, guys, I got a contract here. It's got multiple years on it. Don't ask me about it again. Let's talk about my team. He didn't do that. He went on a media blitz, a campaign, both from the podium before and leading up to and after games that were played and then on multiple media outlets. And he made it all about him, and he said he was doing it in the for the greater good of the program, which was complete and utter BS. And he has to have known in his heart that he wasn't going to be back here for a long time. He used Damon Evans as a convenient bobo. And look, I'm personally glad Damon Evans is gone. Yeah, if there's a good that came out of this,
yes,
like it's that somebody else would be running the athletic programs.
But the athletic department's a house of cards. That's the other problem.
Yeah. But, like, this guy went out of his way to talk about so many things that didn't really have to do with who they were playing and what they had accomplished and what they could accomplish. And it wasn't ever about the program. It was all about him getting his jollies off on dragging people down on the way out. That's what a hollow, coward, shallow man he is. That rather than just make it about the kids and keep his mouth shut and not air any of this stuff that he knew he wasn't going to have to deal with anymore anyway, and that he wasn't that interested in, he decided to take it to a more diabolical level. And so, yeah, people should be angry, and this was unnecessary. Now, I'm also not going to tell you that when he said this stuff that I didn't feel like some of it needed to come to light.
Sure.
But he could have said it when he got to Villanova when they asked him, why'd you leave Maryland?
Yes.
You didn't have to say it before these games. You didn't have to say it in the manner you said it at the time you said it. And yeah, it really speaks to a lack of character and integrity. Go get what you think's the better job and go take it there. Just handle it with some manner of professionalism on the way out. If for the kids, if nothing else.
Well, and he tried both sides it. He went on a rampage on Thursday, and then yesterday, when asked about it, he just deflected and talked about Florida. You can't both sides it. And to use the kids as a shield and I'm sticking up for the kids, when, no, dude, like, he was dead set on leaving. Like, that's what is abundantly clear at this point.
The other thing that I thought of thinking about this morning, and Bone, you're too young to remember this, but Jason will. So the year was 89. And Bill Frieder, right before the start of the NCAA tournament, announced that after the tournament, he was going to leave Michigan, where he was the head coach, to take the job at Arizona State. Yeah. Bo Schembechler, the legendary football coach, was then the AD, said, no, 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 no. We want a Michigan man coaching Michigan. He immediately fired Frieder and made Steve Fisher the head coach for the start of the tournament. They went on to win the national championship with Steve Fisher. Steve Fisher then brought in the Fab Five later, coached San Diego State. Yeah. But I started thinking, well, do I want a Maryland man to coach Maryland tonight? Like, should Kevin Willard even be allowed to coach this team tonight? Because he's halfway out the door already.
He shouldn't be, but they don't have an AD right now.
No,
so it's just like, this was such a perfect storm for Kevin Willard, and he knew it, and he exploited it to the nth degree. He exploited it in a way that, I shame on me, because he got me.
Yep.
Yeah, not got, a lot of people get me. He yeah. got me.
He got all.
He got me.
Bone got you.
But it didn't have to be that way. And no, I don't think he would coach the team. And I would like to think that somebody would go to the players and just say, here's what we're thinking. And if all you guys vote against it, then we'll you know, and you really want this Bobo, then he could stay. But here's why we think we need somebody here who actually has the program's best interest at heart and not his. Because I'm going to tell you right now what Kevin Willard, we know who he is now. He showed us who he is, so yes. Believe him. He wants to lose this game tonight. He wants to get on the private plane that Villanova has waiting for him, that has no allegiances to the Terps, and start his new life. He's done with these kids. He's done with College Park. Well, he has been for a while, except for the ones he steals.
He takes.
But, like, he wants this behind him in the worst way possible. So, no, his heart and his integrity is not in the right place. It's not about winning this game, and I don't trust him. I don't trust him to win this game, which is part of the reason my enthusiasm for this game has been sapped. Because the guy running the bench is a con man.
Well, and it is a great point, because in his heart of hearts, he wants them to lose today. That way he can get a jump on the portal. He can get a jump on everything going on at Nova. I think that's hard to argue.
He sucked everything he could out of College Park. He's done with it. He wants to spit it out and go up to Philly.
Yeah. Main line.
So, nice area. Do I wish somebody would have knocked on his hotel door and said, we've canceled your room, and you better find yourself a flight home?
You're right. The having no AD hurts. Isn't Gary Williams in San Francisco for this game? You couldn't get Gary to coach? Like, he's got 40 minutes in him. They've done it. Like, I've seen, like, where didn't Oklahoma bring Bob Stoops back to coach a bowl game?
Yeah, it's a little different than a Sweet 16.
But Gary's a Hall of Fame coach, man. I'll take him over a guy who doesn't want to win.
We got a poll, IA1057, the fan, is how you can vote on it on Twitter. Assuming Kevin Willard is gone to Villanova, should Maryland pull a Bo Schembechler and fire Willard immediately, having someone else, maybe David Cox, coach the team tonight, or let Willard finish what he started? Close to 500 votes already. 62.9% a Maryland man coaches Maryland, 37.1% ride with Willard.
That was a great quote when Schembechler fired Frieder, and he says, a Michigan man's coaching Michigan, not an Arizona State man. Fired him immediately. But, yeah, I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, Jason, you'd be with me on that. Like,
I'm with you.
Yeah, like this guy, this guy doesn't have Maryland's best interest right now. He's got Villanova's best interest right now. That's the reality. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who has always had Maryland's best interest. He played quarterback at the University of Maryland. He played in the NFL for years, been on the NFL Today on CBS, does radio in New York City. Boomer Esiason joins us.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan. Maryland basketball takes on Florida tonight at 7:30. Pregame coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan begins at 6:30. And everything has been overshadowed by this whole Kevin Willard situation. Looks like he will be heading to Villanova when the Good Riddance lose. Let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Talk to a man who knows Maryland, loves Maryland, played football at Maryland, NFL Today on CBS, does morning radio in New York. It's Boomer Esiason. And Boomer, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. So I just start here. Your reaction to this Kevin Willard story?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, given the state of where college basketball and college athletics is headed over the next 10 years. It's remarkable what's happening and how quick it is happening and how unprepared certain schools have been for this. And I think Maryland is one of those schools. And I guess what Kevin Willard had been fighting for was to get more of that no money for his basketball program. I'm not sure how he gets along with the rest of the coaches that are there at the University of Maryland. We've had other successful coaches that I'm sure want their piece of the pie to get their teams paid because of their performances, most notably, I would think, the football team. So this is going on all across the country, by the way. And when you are AD-less, you don't have a defined leader that is running the school and the athletic department. Stuff like this is going to happen.
Boom, as somebody who's spent your entire adult life, though, associated with the program, is there a part of you that's like, why, if Willard knew in his heart he was probably going, did he have to bring all this to light? And we've argued that some of it coming to light, you know, is for the better.
Yeah.
But these kids are playing the biggest games of their lives, and it's been about him and his future for 2 weeks. And he did all this shucking and jiving, like, I'm doing this for the program. But really, he was doing it just to throw dirt on people on the way out.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Jason, but I will say that it's changed drastically since the early 80s when I played. You know, I was there for 5 years. I love the school. I love everything the school gave to me. I love my athletic experience there, my academic experience there, my lifelong friends from there. I didn't get paid a dollar to play there. I got a scholarship, and I got memories for a lifetime that are basically priceless. Today's coaches and kids are in a completely different set of circumstances. I can't sit here in judgment of any of them when it comes to moving on. And just think about what we're talking about here. The AD left for a 6-year deal at SMU. Mm-hmm. The coach is going to leave for a bigger deal at Villanova. Maryland's going to have players that are on the team this year that are not going to be there next year because they're either going to go to the NBA draft or they are going to go into the transfer portal and make more money. So everybody is out to get their own. And I'm not surprised by any of it. And to sit here in judgment of them, I think would be disingenuous. I don't know what I would do in these same situations, but I'm sure that internally for one, Scott Willard, there have been some very significant hurdles that he felt like he had to get over that he felt like he now couldn't get over without the leadership and support that he needed to stay.
Well, Boomer, we were just talking about this prior to the break. In Kevin Willard's heart of hearts, he probably doesn't want to win the game tonight. That way he can get ahead of the portal. He can get to Villanova. So with that all being said, and we know that it's not going to happen because they don't have an AD, would you feel comfortable him coaching the team or would you want someone else on the staff?
Oh, they want to win. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, they are tried and true competitors, first and foremost, guys. I don't question any of that tonight. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to be rooting for him. I'm going to be rooting for the players. I'm going to be rooting for my alma mater, the laundry, as they say. I have great pride that is associated, like I said, with my memory. So I'm going to root. And then tomorrow morning, if they lose, we'll wake up. We'll find out what is happening with Maryland basketball and Maryland athletics in general moving forward. But it sounds to me that over the last 3 years that this has been building and building and building, and there's been major frustration with it. And if Villanova comes along and says, hey, you know, this is what we have for you, this is what you can do with it, this is how much money you're going to have, and by the way, you don't have to deal with a football team, you don't have to deal with a lacrosse team, you don't have to deal with a women's soccer team, you don't have to deal with a women's lacrosse team, you don't have to deal with any of it. You will be the man on campus. And plus, he's a Big East guy. He's a Rick Pitino guy. Yeah. I can understand why he would end up doing this.
Well, boom, let's continue that part of the discussion, because something else we've been talking a lot about is, does Maryland like have to almost choose a lane? Like, if you want to compete for Big Ten titles in basketball and you want to be able to go beyond Sweet 16s once every 10 years, which is kind of what they've been on lately, then you might need to do more of what Willard was telling you moving forward with whoever the coach is. Like, can Maryland, do you think, knowing the boosters, knowing a lot of the money guys, and whenever they get new leadership afoot, can Maryland really compete at the high end in basketball and football?
It's like 0.1% of the alma mater of the, you know, the people that support the school are still there. I mean, you know, and I know all these people. I've been involved in some of their fundraising campaigns. But I refuse to give money to a kid that I can't count on for being there longer than 1 year. I can't wrap my head around it. I'll always support the school. I'll have the helmets on my TV show for as long as I'm on TV. I'll be proud of, you know, the accomplishments of the kids that go to school there and the great academics that they have there now. But I, you know, I just sit here and just, it's the wonderment to me that, you know, they think that they can play at the higher levels of the Big Ten, when in actuality, in every other sport we can, and I think in basketball we can. Mm-hmm. Football, you know, that is going to be a very high hill to climb simply because of the factories that are Michigan, that are Ohio State, and trying to keep up with them is almost impossible. And now you bring Washington and Oregon, UCLA and USC in the mix, and you all of a sudden fall to the bottom third of the Big Ten or whatever it is now. But I don't know. It's just it's a very disappointing time, I think, for Maryland athletics. And whoever they decide to bring in as an AD, I just hope it's somebody that can really turn this whole program, meaning the Big Two sports, into something very special for a long time, which is going to be very difficult to do.
We're talking with Boomer Esiason, Inside Access here on The Fan. I want to follow up on something you said earlier, Boomer, and that's like where college athletics is going in the next 10 years. What do you think the high-level college athletics looks like 10 years from now?
Well, you know, with this lawsuit and with the settlement and the amount of money that these schools have to put forth, you know, an average of $20.5 million a year they can participate in. They still owe back about probably $15 million that they're going to have to pay, $1.5 million over the next 10 years to back pay for athletes that, you know, played prior to this settlement. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy with what's happening. But I still say the Power Five conferences are going to dominate the landscape. It's semi-pro, if you will. It's these kids are doing what I guess most of us would do if we were in their situation. The same thing with the coaches, too. I mean, like, look at how many coaches left, guys. The other thing I'll say about the University of Maryland, they're building the basketball program, a $50 million workout facility.
Yes.
I mean, couldn't you use that $50 million as part of your nil money if you really wanted to? I mean, if you really wanted players, or are we trying to build them a palace so they can just be happy? I mean, at the end of the day, spending money is one thing. Spending money the right way is another. And to me, this seems to be a waste of money.
Boom. Before we let you go, who's more jacked up right now, the Giants or the Jets?
Huh. Oh, boy. I think the Jets are in the midst of a rebuild. The Giants, you know, signed two quarterbacks. Maybe they'll draft a third with the third overall pick if Shedeur Sanders is there. I know one thing. The teams that should be jacked up are the teams that have the great quarterbacks, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals. Those are all the teams that will be right back in the mix again, just simply because of the presence of who they have as their quarterback. And that's something that the Giants and the Jets can't really say that they've had probably for a good 20 years.
Maryland win tonight, Boom?
Yeah, of course. Come on, man. I am pumped. We're not giving it to the Florida Gators. And by the way, all my compatriots at CBS, they all got Florida winning this game. So that usually bodes well for the team that's the underdog.
Yes.
So hopefully that will be the case
tonight.
The
contrarian. Fear the turtle.
Boomer Esiason.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care. See you.
Coming up next, fascinating.
Yeah.
Big picture, some stuff we're going to talk about later in the show. Yeah. Big picture college athletics. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll preview the Gators. Chris Harry covers the Gators for FloridaGators.com. Get his thoughts on tonight's game. But coming up next, Orioles have a baseball game that starts in about 20 minutes. We'll take a look at the lineups and what's this roster look like. It's a couple surprises. That's next here on The Fan. Orioles and Blue Jays, first pitch in about 17 minutes. A couple of roster notes. Jorge Mateo, after not being there yesterday, there today. Matt Bowman was there yesterday, not there today. Brian Baker makes the team. Contreras got DFA'd, and Levon Soto sent down. Jorge Mateo there, but not in today's lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, and Gunnar Henderson will play tomorrow in Norfolk.
Yes. Yeah. So Jackson Holliday at short. That's interesting.
Yes.
Fast carpet there. Eflin, right? Ground ball pitcher.
Yes.
Pretty athletic Blue Jays team. That's going to be interesting. Westberg at second and not third, yep, where we'd all prefer him.
And Hyder said today when those two play together, Arias will be the third baseman and West will be the second baseman. He also brought up the fact that Arias won a gold glove at third base.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Mickey Mantle won an MVP before.
Too. Yeah.
And Ted Williams won a triple crown and hit .406.
Yeah, he did.
Ancient history.
He didn't win the MVP that
year. Ancient history. He did not. DiMaggio did. Because the writers liked DiMaggio more, and he had his little hit streak.
56-game history.
Did he win the JLC MVP?
He did.
He won the 1941 JLC MVP. I was born in 74.
Yes.
But Ted Williams will always be the 41 AL MVP to me. Damn right, Bone. So that's interesting to me. You're facing we all did this exercise. You know, I like to think ahead. We plan ahead. We did an exercise, boy, it had to be maybe even 6 weeks ago. Most of the time you're facing a right-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
What would your best lineup be to face the average American League righty?
Yes.
And
Berríos is not the average righty, but yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's great against the O's.
Yeah, he is. Which maybe be a reason to put some people in there he hasn't seen that much before.
Yeah.
And we all did not have Tyler O'Neill in the lineup.
But it
we
is
couldn't
opening
make the
day.
Case for him.
Yes.
And he does have a home run streak going on opening day.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what analytics people believe in, I mean, that's
five
also
straight.
I can tell you, that's what DraftKings and those people believe in. They want you playing that Tyler. They want you playing that Tyler O'Neill prop.
Because
the odds of him hitting a home run it's probably one of the two or three
most play.
Oh, yeah,
it
they want you to do that.
I think it's five straight years.
So he's in there.
Tied a record.
And Heston Kerstad is not. So that's interesting to me. They list Ryan O'Hearn as an infielder in their roster, which, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I'm not buying that he's really an infielder. What it's done, though, is Jorge Mateo has done what we kind of thought he would do, which is he's kind of two guys in one.
Yes.
Right? He's infielder and outfielder.
He said he's ready to play both. He spoke to the media today.
So that provides a level of cover and versatility. To Bone's point, Berríos has been really good against the Birds. Adley Rutschman has hit him really well, though. Adley's seen him really well. So, you know, we'll see. Kowser is leading off like we thought he would be.
Take a lot of pitches.
So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of what has caught my eye about the last 24 hours with the Birds.
You like said that in seventh just to try to set you off a little bit?
That's fine. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Whatever. I'd honestly bat him ninth. If I was going to bat him that low in the lineup, I would bat him ninth and just try to get him on base.
That'll be how
the lineup turns around. That's Jackson. But Heston Kerstad, it's very interesting.
The first thing I noticed.
That's the biggest
They did this to Gunnar. They don't want to give these kids opening day. Like, they don't want to give them opening day moments. Home, road, whatever. They don't believe in it. Okay. All right. They're going to give Heston a real run. Okay. All right.
It's one game, Jason.
Okay.
It's one game. There's 161 to go.
I'm just Kermit the Frog, sipping my tea.
Yeah, Kermit.
He's
going to
be
doing the commencement speech. Yeah, he's also coaching Maryland next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kermit the Frog coaching basketball.
Great recruiter.
Yes. He should probably coach tonight.
He should. I will take
him to start tomorrow. I might as well start tonight.
What's on the other side?
Again, what I'm going to be watching, Colton Cowser leading off. Okay. Can he lay off changeups in the dirt? Is he seeing enough pitches? There's no way I would play Jackson Holliday on that surface with that pitcher in this game at shortstop. But they're doing it, so we'll see how that goes. O'Neill. We'll see if he can keep his little streak going.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
By the way, Anthony Santander in left field. They got some fella named Alan Rodon playing right field for the Blue Jays.
I got to be honest. I don't know. I don't know
Alan Rodon. I know Rick Rodon pitched Pirates for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not know Alan Rodon, but he is in right field tonight or today for the Blue Jays.
I think Tony Tater hits a home run today.
Did you place that bet?
I did.
Oh.
I think Adley Rutschman hits a home run.
Did you put an O'Neill?
Too?
Did you spice up some O'Neill?
I did Adley over on bases. I didn't get Homer.
And I got a money line play on this game, but I'll keep that to myself. Live betting Colton Cowser to strike out the first at-bat of the season? Probably.
So if you want to decode Jason, he's got the Blue Jays today.
Yes.
Coming up next here on the program. And by the way, Jimmy Patsos joining us in studio coming up at 5 o'clock.
Barrios is a fast starter.
Yes. Purple Rain at 3:30. We're talking about potential defensive reunions. Guys that have played for the Ravens that are available. Who would we like? But Chris Harry covers the Florida Gators for Gators.com. Get his thoughts on this basketball game next here on The Fan.